From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he proceeds with this study of the Book of Romans, Dr. Cairns returns to the theme of the principles of divine judgment as set forth in Chapter 2 of the Epistle. The text is found in verses 11 through 16. Paul has made it clear that God will judge every man's works, both of the saved and of the unsaved. As Dr. Cairns has shown, all men know enough of God's law to be judged by it. Since God is absolutely holy, His law requires perfect legal obedience if men are to be accepted and justified before Him. Jesus Christ alone is the standard of God's righteousness, and it is through Him alone that any man can be saved. According to the Bible, there are no exceptions to this. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue this message called Judgment According to Law and According to Light. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. Today's devotional is entitled Never Alone. The text is Isaiah 62 and verse 4. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken. Forsaken is a dreary word. It sounds like a knell. It is the record of sharpest sorrows and the prophecy of direst ills. An abyss of misery yawns in that word, forsaken. Forsaken by one who pledged his honor. Forsaken by a friend so long tried and trusted. Forsaken by a dear relative. Forsaken by father and mother. Forsaken by all. This is woe indeed. And yet it may be patiently borne, if the Lord will take us up. But what must it be to feel forsaken of God? Think of that bitterest of cries, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Have we ever in any degree tasted the wormwood and gall of forsaken in that sense? If so, let us beseech our Lord to save us from any repetition of so unspeakable a sorrow. Oh, that such darkness may never return! Men in malice said of a saint, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him. But it was always false. The Lord's loving favor shall compel our cruel foes to eat their own words, or at least to hold their tongues. The reverse of all this is that superlative word, Hephzibah. The Lord delighteth in thee. This turns weeping into dancing. Let those who dreamed that they were forsaken hear the Lord say, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Thank you.
A desire to study the Bible, but you're really not sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study today. Thank you.
God judges the world by Jesus Christ, He is saying, men and women, there is no hope now of any deliverance. There's no other to interpose with blood and sacrifice or a way of escape. Here is the one mediator between God and man. Here is the only Savior of sinners. And if He's your judge, and neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If He is your judge, then damned you must be eternally, and without hope. For to be without Christ is to be without hope. There are good reasons then for saying God will judge by Jesus Christ. But surely there's one outstanding truth, and it's so simple that I haven't read any preacher dealing with it. It's one of those things you overlook. But this is surely Paul's meaning. Jesus Christ is the standard by which God defines the righteousness that He accepts. And it's against that standard that God will measure all human works. Be he Jew or Gentile who approaches God with his works, here is my obedience. Here is the garment of my personal righteousness. Then let him stand beside Christ. God will make him stand in the full blazing light of the absolute purity of Christ's righteousness. That's the standard that God accepts. Let me emphasize it. There's none other. First, then, there is one standard God will use to justify sinners. It's the standard of absolute perfect obedience to His law. Second, verse 11. God will allow no exceptions to this standard on any grounds whatsoever. We are told there is no respect of persons with God. And very simple what that means. God is not impressed by a man's position in the world. I must say I feel this often, but at particular times I feel it when some great hero of mine is laid to rest. I still remember the awful feeling of desolation as I watched the funeral of Winston Churchill. I verily believe that God raised Winston Churchill and used him. Strangely, almost atheist as he was, Churchill always had an abiding belief that Providence had placed him where he was for some great purpose. I believe he was right. But Churchill lived without God and without Christ. And as far as I know, he died without God and without Christ. I remember well his funeral procession next to royalty. Britain had never seen a funeral procession like this, certainly not in modern times. The greatest radio and television commentator in the world at that time was Richard Dimbleby. Don't expect Americans to know that name. I can still hear. I can still envision that solemn pomp as Churchill's body made its way to its final resting place. I've read hundreds and hundreds of pages of his writing, of his history. I've read thousands of pages of his biography. But every time I come to this awful sadness, here's a great man, a man who reached the most eminent position among his fellow men. If you were to have asked the world in the early 1940s for its greatest citizen, overwhelmingly, Winston Churchill would have got the vote. But God is not impressed with the position men attain on earth. God is unimpressed by their standing or their name or their reputation. When we read there is no respect of persons with God, the simple idea is he does not judge by face or by appearance, but by the often hidden reality of the heart. That's why verse 16 says he will judge the secrets of men. Not that he will ignore their overt acts, but he will go beyond their overt acts. He will plumb the depths of their character. He will get to the very root of their being. He will search them through and through. He is not impressed with the face or the appearance. Particularly, I need to repeat that he will not make exceptions for the heathen who didn't have a Bible or hear the gospel. How often we hear this. How could God send a poor heathen to hell who has never heard the name of Jesus Christ? Remember what Paul is saying. He's saying, listen, every man has sufficient revelation of the law of God to condemn him. Understand that. And I hear these people telling me that really God couldn't send the heathen to hell. If that were true, the best thing the Christian church could do would be to suspend all foreign missions. Let's leave the world in its heathen darkness. For if it's impossible for God to judge the heathen and send them to hell if they have never heard the name of Jesus, then let's make sure they go to heaven and never give them the name of Jesus. But the very thought is so obviously a fallacy and a lie. We know that we are compelled to take Christ to them because, as Paul is emphasizing through chapter 1 and now into chapter 2 of Romans, without Christ they'll perish. You see, there's no exception. The fact is, and it is a fact, every man's own works condemn him. And it's on that basis that God will judge him. So there are no exceptions. Third, this is the body of this passage that we have read together tonight. The rule and the reach of divine law extend to the whole world, both Jews and Gentiles. Now, verse 12 through 15 of this Romans 2 forms a vitally important section. Let's start, and I'll try to explain it as quickly as I can, because there are statements here that cause people a whole lot of worry. They don't understand them. Verse 12, as many as have sinned without law shall perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Let's start at the end of the verse. It's obviously a reference to the Jews, those who have sinned against the law. The reference here is to the law given through Moses. It is the law that God wrote with his finger on tables of stone. And as many as have sinned against that law will be judged by that law.
That's Paul's statement. So the Jews, having received the law, and having broken the law, having sinned against the light of that divine revelation, will be judged by that law. It's easy to say that. But stop and let it sink in. What a statement. What a statement. I'm not going to try in one, I was going to say brief message, but maybe I shouldn't be so ironical. I'm not going to try tonight to cover the ground that I took nearly 24 messages to cover in dealing with the law of God. But I want you to understand this. I remember when we were studying the law, in my own study, and even in the preaching of it, I remember at times that this was, in my own heart and mind, a crushing force, a fearful thought. Every man to whom God has given a Bible, that means you, will be judged by the standard of God's immutable law. We live in a day of lawlessness. And that lawlessness is going to increase until the world produces a man who is known as Antichrist, who is the lawless one. That will be his very definitive character, the lawless one. In such times as those in which we live and to which we are going, things that in former times were counted abominations, unspeakably hateful things, are now accepted as ordinary. You look at American society today, the society that God is permitting in America today would make the men of Sodom blush. Our Western world is awash with the vileness and the filthiness that the human mind can, all that it can imagine and all that it can produce. Supreme Court of the United States at this moment is being faced with the question as to whether it will even permit the state of Texas and, of course, by extension, any other state so involved, to say that sodomy is wrong. Legally wrong. I hope I'm wrong when I say this. I have a sinking feeling that this Supreme Court, upon which so many people place so much hope, is so riddled with rottenness and compromise and stupidity and hellish ignorance that it will deny the state of Texas the right to say that sodomy is legally wrong. You will not be very much older until in this very city your children will be forced, I mean forced, to hear that living with sodomites and living as sodomites is just an alternative lifestyle. It is just as acceptable as monogamous heterosexual marriage. That's what's going to happen. It's already happening. And it's going to get worse by the year. And we're going to be faced with this. The standards are sliding. This is one of the great difficulties of preaching the gospel today. People do not have any recognition that some of the things that we're talking about are even blameworthy. Why? Because men
have evolved. Even if they don't in their very heart of hearts honestly accept them, or only God knows what they're thinking there, they've evolved standards by which they judge themselves.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.